Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. So good to be in church today. And I know we're a little bit early with our Christmas decorations. Yeah. And we just want to apologize to anyone that upsets. I told Ben when he was putting things up, I said, listen, just hang a Happy Thanksgiving sign on the Christmas tree. It'll take care of everything. But he didn't listen to me. That's okay. But the team did such a great job, and just schedule-wise, when you got to do it when you got the help to do it, right? And so we appreciate everyone who came, and Cheryl and Tara decorated the Christmas tree. They did a fantastic job. Looks so great, as always. Then we had Ben, Pastor Scott, Josh. They were all here decorating, and they did a great job. Thank you, guys. And so we're just a little early, that's all. It's a little early. It's going to be all right. So look at your name and say, it's going to be all right. I'm just going to say, we're not going to play any Christmas music today. So you can relax. We haven't gone that far. But we're excited about Christmas season. It's a great season for the church. It's when everybody's talking about what it's all about, and that's Jesus. Amen? And so anyway, we got a lot of fun things planned for Christmas, but we're not there yet. Because this week, Thanksgiving. Amen? And so I encourage you, Wednesday night at church, we're going to all be together. And just if you're here, and I know a lot of people have family plans and you're cooking so much, you're not able to make it. But for the last few years on Wednesday night, what we do is we have a time of worship, a very short word. And then we all receive communion together as a family. And everybody comes up front and it's just a beautiful thing. We've done it the last few years. I've really enjoyed it. And it's just a great time to be thankful to the Lord for all that he's done for us. And so we're going to have communion here on Wednesday night. Encourage you to come if you're able to. And totally understand if you have, you know, a 25-pound turkey, you got to get ready. That's okay. We'll see you Sunday. Amen? Amen. All right. But we're going to talk about baggage today. Last week we had Pastor Harry Wilson here. He did a fantastic job. I always love when Pastor Harry comes. He comes every November for the last several years. And my favorite thing about Pastor Harry is
his laugh.
His laugh, of course. And what I really love to do is I love to, like, watch somebody who's never seen him before. Because the expression on their face when he laughs is priceless. And I remember the very first time that he came here, we had never met face-to-face. We'd only emailed and spoken. And so I'd never really seen him before. And he came, and he was ministering. And I was sitting here, and Pastor Angel was here. And the first time that he laughed, we both were like this. Did that just happen? What is that, you know? And for those of you who wonder if that's how he really laughs, since then I've had lots of opportunities to spend time with him when I've been in Guatemala, and that is how he really laughs. No matter what, that's how he really laughs. He's full of joy, and we are very thankful for everything that he is doing in Guatemala. He has the Bible school there, and they're just doing a great job of raising up national people to start churches, to teach at churches, and it's just an amazing thing they're doing, and all of us are part of that. Isn't that great? You know, I was telling First Service, it's so awesome to be part of church, and I love these new shirts that the team is wearing, and I need, who's got a shirt on that come up here? Come up here and show everybody your shirt. I love these new shirts. I love these new shirts. Flip your hair back now. Flip it back. There you go. All right. Look at that. That's how it's done right there. That is how it's done. But, you know, she doesn't just come to BBC. She is BBC. Amen? And I was telling First Service these shirts are not for sale. The only way you get one of these is by serving, by being part of the body. But it's so awesome to be part of a great church. And I don't just say that because I pastor this church. I knew BBC was a great church when I was just like you and sat in a pew and just came here. BBC is a great church. And yesterday, you as a church, what you did, I don't want to embarrass, I'm not going to say, but we have a particular team member who their passion every Thanksgiving is to make sure that we are able to feed as many families as possible. And this year completely outdid themselves. Yesterday they gave out not just a turkey and a box of stuffing. No. They gave out huge Thanksgiving dinners to 55 families. Isn't that exciting? It's just so amazing, and we're just so blessed, and we want to thank, actually, Walmart helped us do that with a grant. They paid for a lot of it, and so we're very thankful for that. And so many people came who really needed it, and this Thanksgiving, when you're sitting at your table giving thanks for what you have, you can also give thanks that as a church, you help provide, not just 55, because we had two people show up that were late, didn't sign up, but we're a church of mercy, amen? So tomorrow, a staff member is gonna go and buy all the stuff they need and deliver it. So it's actually 57 other families are gonna have a huge Thanksgiving dinner. Isn't that awesome? It's so exciting. I tell you that, it just, that blesses me. That blesses me. And so when you sit down this Thanksgiving, just keep that in mind. Because the enemy will always come and try to say, you know, what are you doing? You're not really doing anything. You're this, you're that. But you can remind him, no, I'm part of a church. Amen. I am BVC. I don't just go there. I am BVC. And you know what we did? This is what we did. And we do so much. And just to encourage you, you know, our orphanage over in Guatemala, I was just, they were so heavy on my heart this morning. And I was just praying for all the little kids. And one of the little babies that we got in, you may have seen it on Facebook. He came to us with burns over 80% of his body. And nobody really knows how he got those. And so what he needs, he has a burn suit that he wears. And it covers his face. It goes all over. And you know, he's getting all the medical care that he needs. He's getting the emotional care that he needs. And most importantly, he's getting the spiritual care that he needs. And you know who's making that happen? You are. Amen? You are. We are as a church. And I tell you, when I lay my head down on my pillow to go to sleep at night, I am thankful that God allows me to be part of something bigger than just me. Amen? Because one person can't do these kind of things, but all of us together, amen, we can do a lot of great things. Amen? And so I just encourage you in that, and I'm just excited about it. I love the church. I love the local church. And I believe, I've said this a few times lately, Bill Hybels, a pastor in Chicago, he wrote a book, and in the book he said this. He said, the local church, say that's here.
That's here.
Amen. The local church is the hope of the world. And that seems like a big statement to make, but if you think about it, it is true, because the local church offers what no one else can. We offer and we provide and we equip with the power of Jesus. And that is what the world needs. Listen, if money solved every problem, then rich people would have no problems. Amen? If money healed every wound, they would have no wounds. Money doesn't do it. It's not the answer. Jesus is the answer. Amen? And so I just encourage you, pray for the church. The church. Because our nation, our world needs the church to do what we're called to do, and that's be a light and be a vessel for Jesus. Amen? And so I love church. I love the local church, and I'm just excited about church. Amen? You say, well, that's because you're the pastor. No, I was excited about church before I became the pastor. Amen? And I'll tell you why. Because I know that church saved my life. I know that. It was church that did it. Sure, you can get a message. You can watch a message online. You can watch somebody on TV, but it does not take the place of being part of a body. It does not take that place. Local church does that. And I know that it was local church. It was people who were with me and prayed for me and helped me when I was just so stupid and didn't know anything, and helped me when I fell down. They were the ones that came and picked me up. And I am so thankful for that. And that's why I love the local church so much. You know, listen, there's a lot of great, I don't know why I'm talking about this, but I'm going a different direction. There's a lot of great preachers on TV. A lot of awesome preachers. There's a lot not so awesome, but there's a lot of awesome ones. You don't get much better than Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer, Joel Osteen. You don't get better than those. But I tell you, they do not take the place of local church. Amen. They don't take the place. I was praying for the local church yesterday. And not just our church, but the church. And the Lord, you know, just in my heart, this rose up. So many people want the benefit of church without the commitment to church. And it doesn't work like that. To get the benefit of church, you got to be committed to church. If you just breeze in and breeze out and don't put roots down here, you won't get the benefit of here. But if you do what I did, what Angel did, what Scott did, what Sandy did, you do what we did, we came in and said, this is my church. And we did it God's way. We came regularly. We gave regularly. We served regularly. We did that. We became part of the family. And now our lives are completely different. It was so funny. I was talking to Josh in the office, and he was asking me something about Pastor Scott and, you know, his wild days. And he said he was under the impression that I dated him when he was wild. And I looked at him and I said, I would never do that. I said, why would I do that? I would never do that. I said, when I started dating Scott, he was in church. And God had changed his life. And church was more important than me or anything else. That's when I started dating him. And so there are so many reasons why I love church and why I love this church. But most importantly, why I love this church is because it's God's church. But because God, through this church, has fulfilled my life in ways that the world could never do. Amen. Could never do. Brought people into my life that are just, they're just like my husband and so many others. And I just encourage, it's been just heavy on my heart these last few weeks. Don't look for the benefit of church without the commitment to church. And I'm not on your case and I'm not wagging my finger at you. You can do it however you want. You can just be a breezer if you want, but you're not going to get what we got out of church if you are. You're not. Or you can say, you know what, I'm going to make this my church. And I'm going to do it God's way. That's when your life will change. Because you're putting aside your way and picking up his. Amen? And so I just encourage you in that. I'm very protective of the church. And so the church, not just my own, especially my own. Now, watch yourself. It really angers me when people are like, oh, I don't need church. You're missing out there. You're missing out, all right? And I said this in first service too, and it's just been on my heart. God wants the church. And I said a couple weeks ago too, the time our nation is in, God needs the church to be the church. And if I want the benefit of church, I need the commitment to church. And I told First Service, you know, I have a membership to UFIT. I do. I pay $10 every month, but I don't get any of the benefit of it. You know why? Because I'm not committed to it. I'm not committed to UFIT. I drive by UFIT all the time. I've been there a couple times, you know, but I don't have the commitment. I don't have any commitment to it at all, none whatsoever, at all. So I don't get any benefit of it. And you know what? Your relationship with God can be the same way. Whether you're in church, out of church, you got to be committed to God. And I know that sometimes there's reasons. You know, there's people who aren't able to come. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to those, I've been that person, where you just kind of, meh, that attitude. And I know that's not everybody. But this has been on my heart for the last few weeks, and I've kind of briefly mentioned it. And today, the Lord just wants me to say it. Let's be committed. Amen? Because we want the benefit. You know, I'm not committed to UFIT, so I got no benefit. None. And I was telling First Service, I have terrible workout partners. When I go in, we walk around. You want to go to breakfast? Sure. Let's go. You know, I mean, that's a terrible workout partner. It's terrible. You know, I need somebody who says no. But the thing is, be careful who your friends are. Friends are going to bring you closer to what you want, or they're going to pull you away from what you want. Amen? And so that's all I'm going to say about that. As long as they, all right. Now don't come up. No, I do not want to work out with you. Don't come up and say, I'll work. No, because I'm not committed. I'm just honest with you. At least I can recognize where I am. I do not want to work out with you because I'm not committed. Pray for me. All right, just pray for me. But anyway, we're going to pick up on our series on baggage. Look at your neighbor and say, baggage. You got to say it with a little bit of attitude, right? Everybody has baggage. Everybody's got it. We just got to deal with it. And you know what is? Baggage is things that weigh you down. And so over here in Matthew 11:28, and I'm going to read this to you out of a different translation. And I was telling, I'm sorry to the media guys. I know you guys don't like it when I do this, but this is such, so good. This is Jesus talking. He says this. How many want to listen when Jesus talks? Yeah. Woo! He says, come to me. Come to who? Come to Jesus, right? We could just stop right there and say, you know what? That was a great message. Let's go home. Because it would really solve probably all of our problems if we would just come to Jesus. Amen? Now, how many have heard the expression, you need a come to Jesus meeting, right? We all need that. We need to come to Jesus. So he says, come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads, and I will give you rest. That scripture right there is so powerful because Jesus says, listen, come to me, all. So who does all leave out? Nobody. All leaves no one out. How many alls do we have in here? He's talking about all people, everybody. And so you can, if anybody's ever told you you can't go to church for any reason, you need to take them right here to this verse and say, what does all mean? Amen? All means all. And so he says, come to me, all who are tired from carrying heavy loads. And this is what he says. He doesn't say, I'm going to beat you up with it. I'm going to make you pay for it. I'm going to be angry with you of it. What does he say? He says, you bring your heavy load to me and I'll give you rest. And that's so good. If you bring your heavy, if you bring your baggage to Jesus, he'll give you rest. I was telling First Service when I flew to Africa, when I was blessed and blessed with a trip to go there, and it was just so amazing. And I called Corinne and Daniel, who live there, and I asked her, I said, hey, is there anything I can bring you? Because she's from the States. I said, is there anything I can bring you? And she sent me a huge list. She sent me this big old list. She wanted marshmallows, and she wanted Pam cooking spray, and macaroni and cheese, and funfetti icing, and I mean, just all kinds of things that they don't have there that she wanted. And so I went, and because I was flying first class, hello, huh? That's the way to do it. They let you bring, like, really super heavy bags you don't have to pay. So I went, and I got the biggest suitcase I could find. It was huge. You could put a person in there. It was so big. And so I got this huge suitcase, and I filled this suitcase with peanut butter, marshmallows, all kinds of stuff. Just everything she asked for, I got her a ton of it. Well, first class, what do? You pull up to the curb, and the guy comes out. He gets your bags. You never have to lift it. You never have to carry your heavy bag. And I had that bag and the bag with all my clothes in it. And I was there for 2.5 weeks. How many know I had a lot of clothes? Yeah. Right? So I have these two, I mean, these bags are huge. And so I get there, and then I get to Africa, my first airport in Africa, and guess what? They don't carry your bag. And I'm like, holy cow. So I've got these two giant bags, plus my computer bag and my purse. I felt like a pack mule, right? I'm like, this is after flying for like 23 hours. And so I say to the person who's like in charge of us, you know, and I said, because there's all these people around that want to carry my bag. And I said, can I just pay these guys to carry my bag? Can I just give them a couple bucks to carry my bag, right? No! He says, he screams to me, you can't let anybody carry your bag. Okay. Okay. But you know what? I had to carry that big old heavy two bags all the way, like miles. It felt like miles. You know why it felt like miles? Because I'm not committed to UFIT. It felt like miles. So I'm carrying these and I'm just like, oh. But you know what? When I read the scripture, it reminds me of that because here's the thing. You can't let anybody else carry your bags in life. But we try to, don't we? Angry people, when you're angry, you want somebody else to carry an angry bag. When you're depressed, you want somebody else to carry a depressed bag. When you're miserable, you want everybody to have a misery bag, right? Because that's just how we are. We're always trying to get other people to carry our stuff. But you can't let anybody else carry your bag because only you can bring it to Jesus. Amen. Only you can. You can't. Nobody else can fix what needs to be fixed. Nobody else is the solution to what ails you. Jesus is. And that's why Jesus said, come. He's saying, you come. All who are tired from carrying a heavy load. And he said, I'll give you rest. Nobody else can carry your bag. You got to carry it. But when you do, you give it to Jesus and you check it. How many love checking bags? But here's the good thing about Jesus. When you check a bag with Jesus, what you get back is brand new. Amen? It's all brand new. You don't get any old stuff back. You get all brand new stuff. And so we see what we're going to talk about today is the baggage of guilt. I'll tell you, guilt ruins so many people. It drives you. In the body of Christ, there are so many people who are not serving, who are not ministering, who are not laying hands on the sick, who are not living free lives, who are not filled with joy because you are so racked with guilt for what you have done. But Jesus has an answer for guilt. Amen? He has an answer for shame because he is the answer. And we can look here in the word. It says in Psalms 38, verse number 4, he says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. Oh, that is so true. When I meet people that just, you ever sense like, man, you can almost see the heaviness on some people? So many times that's from guilt. But God has an answer for you. When you look at something in the original, you can see what the original plan was, right? And when we look in the Garden of Eden, we can see what the original plan for us was with God. And what was that? God is walking with Adam. He's walking with him in the garden. He created Eve just for him. There's no sin. There's no jealousy. There's no shame. There's only good stuff, right? And so what happens? Somebody sinned. We know what happened. Eve, how many remember her? The Bible says in Genesis that Eve ate the fruit, but what's the rest of that scripture? And the man who was with her, everybody blames Eve, but Adam was right there. They were in it together. And so it says Eve and the man who was with her. There's no question who the man was because there was only one man on the whole earth. Yeah. Right? It wasn't like, oh, was it so-and-so? No, there was no so-and-so. It was Adam and Eve. That was it. And so it says Eve and the man that was with her, they ate it. And once they ate it, here's what happened. I'm sorry, before they ate it, I'm getting ahead of myself. Before they ate it, in Genesis 2:25, it says the wife, the man and his wife, who's that? Adam and Eve. He says they were both
naked.
You always wanted to say naked in church. Now you have. The man and his wife were both
naked.
We are right on the edge right there. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. There was no shame with God, and there was no shame with each other. But once guilt and sin, once sin comes in and guilt follows, it changes my relationships this way, and it also changes my relationships this way. It affects everything. Because once they did screw up, once Eve and the man who was with her, once they messed up and they ate of that fruit, the Bible says immediately they recognized that they were Naked. They tried to clothe themselves. And that's what we do. When we mess up, when we screw up, we try to heal ourselves. Or we just stay so distracted from whatever it was that we think that's going to take care of it. I know one of the enemy's greatest tools that he has is distraction from what's really happening in your life. Some people are so, they got their head so far into Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all these things. I'm not anti those things. I'm anti those things taking place and making you, that's all you're doing. You're just, let me watch somebody else live because I can't handle how I live. Let me just watch what you're doing because I don't want to deal with what I'm doing. We're distracted from real life through games, through TV, through movies, through you, all that stuff. If you let it, it will become a distraction where you are so unaware of what is really happening that you're like, I don't want to deal with it. You know, sometimes we do that. Anybody ever do that with your bills? You know, you're like, I don't even want to open that, right? So next thing you know, you didn't want to open that one. Then you don't open the next one. You don't open the next one. Next thing you know, you got a big pile of bills. And you're like, you don't want to deal with it. So what do? You just, I'm just going to watch this. One more video, 5 more minutes, this, and this. Because I don't want to deal with what's in those envelopes. But you got to deal with what's in the envelope. Because if you don't, it doesn't go away. In that case, it literally is just going to get bigger and bigger. Worse and worse. And so we can't be distracted by what's happening in our lives. We got to come to Jesus with the bags. So often people want you to think you can't come to Jesus when you have baggage. No, that's when you need to come to Jesus. Amen? And that's why it's so important as a church, when people walk in with baggage, we don't give them the look. You know what look I'm talking about? We don't give them that look like, what are you doing here? Right? They're exactly who's supposed to be here. Amen? Why? Because they have baggage. And some baggage is more obvious than others. But baggage is baggage. And we got to bring it to Jesus. And when we bring it to Jesus, when we come to him instead of running from him, when we come to him, he will give us rest. He's the only one who can. He's the only one who can. But one of the biggest ways that we get guilt is through regrets. Painful regrets. And I bet everybody in here, you have a painful regret. I'm here to tell you that God can heal you and help you through a painful regret. And if you'll listen to the Holy Ghost, he'll save you from future ones. Amen? He'll heal you from past ones. And he'll save you from future ones. I was telling first service this morning, and I got a little emotional because I'm just so thankful to God. But one of the biggest regrets that I would share publicly, let me just put it that way, because I have others that I will not share publicly. Jesus knows them. Amen? But truly, one of the biggest regrets I have is that, long story short, Christmas Eve, big thing in my family. My grandmother started it. Her name is Golden. Golden Marsh. Isn't that a great name for a grandma? Grandma Marsh. She would have these huge parties on Christmas Eve. It's in our family forever. And one year, I didn't go. Not because I was sick, not because I had to work. I had no reason except for this. I chose a boyfriend who wasn't even a real boyfriend, like somebody I just started dating. I chose him over that family commitment. And it was wrong, and I knew it was wrong. I disappointed my mom, disappointed my grandmother. I let my family down. I showed them where my priorities were. It was so wrong. And then I get to this stupid Christmas with his family, and it was so unbelievably lame. I mean, I'm just like, are you kidding me? You guys don't even know how to do Christmas. Right? I'm just like, seriously. I was just so mad at myself, but here's the part where it gets super regretful. That was my grandmother's last Christmas. She died. And I tell you, that regret, it ate me so bad for so long until the Lord really, he can't take it away. It happened. But he can heal you and help you through it. Amen? He can make it so that it's no longer baggage. You don't carry it anymore. It happened. But you don't have to keep carrying it. Amen? And that's one regret. And like I said, I have many others that are bigger. I don't carry them anymore because I came to Jesus. And here's the good part about the Lord. He'll also rescue you from future regret. Because it was about 10 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, and Pastor Mark had just died, and I was very busy with the church, as you can imagine, and just super busy and didn't have a lot of time for my mom. You young people, listen to me. Listen. And I wasn't spending time with her and like I normally would. And my mom was a pistol. How many do my mom? We can all say it. She was a pistol, right? You know what a pistol is? It's a handful. You know? If somebody calls you a pistol, it's not necessarily a compliment. It means you're a handful, right? My mother was a pistol. She was a handful. And so there were, you know, stuff like in every relationship with your mom, everybody goes through that. But I was pretty distant from her for a little while. And I was driving down Lake Worth Road. I was on my way to work and just so consumed with work. I'll never forget this. The Holy Ghost rose up on the inside of me and he said, if you do not change your relationship with your mother, you will live in regret for the rest of your life. I know the pain of regret. And I know the voice of God. So that day I called my mom. I set things right. And for the next, it was actually about 2 years, we had a great relationship. And in the last year of that, she had brain cancer and she died. I am so thankful that God loves me enough to speak to me, correct me, and rescue me from painful regret. Amen. So whether you are dealing with regret, God will heal you from it, and he will rescue you from future regret. And I say this to everybody I can. If your mom's still here, go home and call her. Amen? Say, oh, we don't get along. She's a pain, blah, blah, blah. Join the club. That's true of every mom. It's just the truth. Because you're an adult, you don't want your mom. It doesn't matter how old I am. Lori and I joke about this. I could be 40 years old. I'll call my mom. You know what her first question would be? Where are you? Where are you? Right? And I'd be like, "What? Why do you want to know where I am? Where are you? What business is it of yours where I am? Where are you? You know? And so then you're like, I don't want to call anymore because I don't want to tell you where I am, right? But the thing is, you're just at Walmart. Tell your mother where you are. She, you know, it's just a weird dynamic. Right? Everybody's laughing because you understand. It's a weird dynamic. It's like, you know, my mom used to always say, you need to obey what I say. I'm like, Mom, the Bible says children obey their parents. I am not a child. I do not have to obey you. I have to honor you, but I do not have to obey you. She's like, I don't agree with that. I mean, she's a pistol. She's a pistol. But the thing is that I'm telling you, young people, there's going to come a time you're going to get to an age and you're either going to live a life of regret or you're going to be able to look back and say, thank God. Amen? Thank God. God will rescue. Turn over to Acts chapter 7. Let's close this up. The baggage of guilt, man, it comes from regrets because there are so many things in our past that we regret, we look back on, and we think, man, ugh, that's so tough. But if anybody would understand the pain of regret, it would be Paul. And here's why. In Acts chapter 7, verse 54 and 58, it says, when they heard this is the religious people. It says, when they heard this, let me tell you what they heard. They heard that Stephen had been touched by the power of God. They heard that he had been set free and he had become a brand new creation in Christ Jesus. They heard that he was laying hands on the sick and they were recovering. They heard that God was in his life, right? And so when they heard this, they were furious. And the Bible says, gnashed their teeth at him. How mad do you have to be at somebody to gnash your teeth at them? How do you even gnash your teeth, right? Somebody show me what you think gnashing your teeth is. Yeah, I mean, like, you're like biting at him and growling at him. That's pretty bad, isn't it? That's bad. I can say people have been really mad at me, but no one has gnashed their teeth at me, to my knowledge. He says, when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, woo, glory, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You know, it's interesting. This is the only instance that Jesus is standing at the throne. Every other time it says he's seated. It's like he's giving Stephen a standing ovation. Isn't that good? He says, I looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. He says, look, he said, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices. These guys are ticked off, right? Now they're covering their ears and they're yelling because they don't even want to hear what he has to say. They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. You know, to stone someone to death takes hours. It says they began to stone him. Stephen was the first martyr of the church. And it says, meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Does anybody know who Saul is? He became Paul. And if you're sitting here today like, who's Paul? Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. The man who hated the church the most now loved the church. Now he loves the church so much because we see it in Romans chapter 8. Guess who wrote Romans? Paul. The same guy that crucified, that he killed Christians. He hunted them down. His sole objective was to destroy the church. That was his objective. That same guy wrote Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, and he said this, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You want to know how to deal with guilt? Jesus said, come to me, everybody who's tired of carrying a heavy load. Doesn't matter what you did. Doesn't matter how big it is. So many people, you know Jesus, you've received him as your Lord and Savior, but you still carry guilt. You need to follow the example of Paul and recognize there's no condemnation in Jesus. Condemnation says there's no way out. This is what you did. This is who you are. The Holy Spirit will convict us and say, listen, you did this, but here's a way out. That's Jesus. Don't let guilt keep you from stepping up. Don't let what you've done keep you from being who God has called you to be. Don't let guilt rob you of one more day. Because guilt is not of God. He has forgiven you. He has restored you. The Bible says that he has removed your sin, your trespass, your mistake. As far as the east is from the west, there's no end there. I said a couple weeks ago, you've heard of the North Pole, right? It's about to get real popular. The North Pole, and then you've heard of the South Pole, but you've never heard of an East Pole and a West Pole. Why? Because north and south end, east and west do not. There is no end. And that's where God has taken your mistakes. You don't have to carry it around. Did it happen? Yeah, it happened. Did you do it? Yeah, you did it. Was it wrong? Yeah, it was wrong. But the blood of Jesus washes it away. And here's how Paul did it in Philippians chapter 4. He said this. He said, not that I've arrived or have it all together. How many say that's me? I haven't arrived. I don't have it all together. He said, but this one thing I do. He said this one thing. He said, I forget those things which are behind me, and I press forward to the hope and the call of God. You got to look at what you've done. You got to look at it and say, it happened. It was wrong. It was me. I was all there. But I'm going to begin to neglect that. You know what that means? Don't let it take a bigger part of your life than it should. Neglect it. When somebody tries to bring it up, look at them and say, that's not part of me anymore. That's under the blood. That's under the blood. I'm not that person anymore. Did it happen? Yes. And they say, you got to pay for it. Say, Jesus paid for it. Amen? Jesus paid for it for me. I am forgiven. This one thing I do, I tell you, I can't do what I do without following Paul's example. This one thing I do, I forget those things. You can't really forget them. That word means neglect. Quit bringing it up. Quit writing it down. Quit telling that story. Get a new story. Amen? Get a new story of forgiveness and a future. Neglect it. And if everybody around you just wants to keep bringing it up, get new friends. Amen? Get new friends. Get new friends. Just tell them, listen, this is me. This is my new life. That's not part of me anymore. You either deal with it or I'm moving on. If they're a real friend, they'll deal with it. If they're not, you're not losing much. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, I pray now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person here today, the Father, that they would come to know you as the one who forgives, restores, makes all things new. Lord, I pray for anyone here that is stuck in painful regret and carrying so much guilt around. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to bring that baggage to Jesus, to bring it to you so that you can give them rest. Jesus is the only one who can bring you rest. So if you're here today with every eye closed, every head bowed, and you're here and you say, you know what? I'm trying to do life on my own, but today I want to come to Jesus. I got a lot of baggage. I got a lot of heavy load, but I want to bring it all to Jesus. I want to receive the rest that he has for me. If that's you, I'm not going to call you down. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but if that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall and say, that's me, Peggy. From this day forward, I'm starting fresh. I'm going to let that stuff from my past stay in my past. I see your hand. I'm going to let that stuff from my past stay there. I'm not going to keep bringing it up. I'm not going to keep letting it, feeling like it disqualifies me. Because the Bible says that Jesus qualifies me. Anybody else want to join the two? Raise their hand. Anybody else say, this day forward, I'm going to start fresh. Or maybe here, I see your hand. Maybe you're here today and you say, I need to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I haven't even done that yet. But today, I want to give him all of me for all of him. That's you. Just raise your hand. God's looking. God's waiting. He's waiting on you. For the sake of the two who raised their hand, let's say this prayer together. Say, Father God, from this day forward, I've got a fresh start. I turn my back on things from my past, and I receive a brand new start, a fresh beginning with Jesus. I'm like Paul. I got stuff in my past, but I'm also like Paul. I've got a great future with God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Woo, isn't God good? He's so good. Hey, we're going to do something super special. One of my favorite things to do.